Jordan Love has put together one of the great seasons in the NFL this year for a quarterback, one of the most productive seasons for a quarterback. So why is he not in the MVP conversation when players he's outproduced, out-efficiencied are? Plus, why this win was huge for the message the Packers were trying to send to Jaire Alexander, and Sunday night was a monster win. This season has been a monster win for Green Bay Packers types. All of that on today's Locked On Packers.
You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. You will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. Right now, new customers get a $150 bonus bet payday. That works. With any winning $5 money line bet, that's $150 if your team wins. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. Jordan Love has been more productive on a per play basis, more efficient on a per play basis than the guy who is a 9-1 favorite to win MVP, Lamar Jackson. And I'm not going to stand here and say I think Jordan Love should be the MVP. Because I don't think that's true. I think the stretch that he went through in October is essentially disqualifying. But I don't blame the loss to the Falcons on Jordan Love. I don't blame the loss to the Broncos on Jordan Love. And I don't blame the loss to the Giants on Jordan Love. I certainly don't blame the loss to the Buccaneers on Jordan Love. The difference between the way that there is the perception of Lamar Jackson, for example, or Jalen Hurts, is entirely based on the team's record. The Packers are 8-8. What happens if they don't blow the fourth quarter lead against the Falcons? What happens if they don't give up the game-winning drive to Tommy frickin' DeVito? And they're 10-6 right now instead of 8-8. Could he be in this mix? Matthew Stafford somehow jumped in to this discussion last week. And I just want to go over some of these numbers, okay? By EPA per play, Jordan Love has been better than Lamar Jackson. That is value per play, okay? And that accounts for the running of Lamar Jackson. Not the scrambles, but the design runs. And Lamar Jackson, you say, okay, well, Jordan Love, he's produced more through the air, but Lamar Jackson, all those rushing yards. Yes, that's true. But our pal Paul Noonan over at Acme Packing Company went back and looked. In 2022, teams on average needed about 150 yards of offense to score a touchdown. So the delta of rushing yards is about 3 touchdowns worth. But Lamar Jackson only has one more rushing touchdown than Jordan Love. And Jordan Love has 6 more passing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson. You can say, okay, well, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens have a bunch of 1-yard touchdowns. Yeah, do you know why the Packers have to throw at the 1-yard line? Because the running game stinks. Because Aaron Jones has been hurt all year. Because the offensive line does not move bodies in the run game. So again, I'm not going to stand up here and say, I guess I'm sitting, but I'm not going to stand up here, sit up here and say, I think that Jordan Love is the MVP. I actually think the MVP is still Dak Prescott. That is probably where I would lean. And frankly, if Josh Allen and the Bills play impressive football against the Dolphins on Sunday night, you could convince me it should be Josh Allen. For as much as he has lost the Bills some games, he is the only reason the Bills have won any games this season. He is the sole indicator for when that team wins and loses, I guess with the obvious exception being the Cowboys game where they just ran all over Dallas. Jordan Love has backpacked this offense. Backpacked this offense. 80% of their touchdowns are because of Jordan Love. A little over 50% of Lamar Jackson's touchdowns are because of Lamar Jackson, directly created by Lamar Jackson. And I'm not trying to undercut Lamar Jackson, who's an incredible player. I'm not even saying Jordan Love is a better player than Lamar Jackson. I think it takes multiple seasons of high-level play for you to say something like that. Jordan Love has had a better season than Patrick Mahomes. Just qualitatively, quantitatively, he has been better this season than Patrick Mahomes with similar circumstances. And Travis Kelce has not played for the Green Bay Packers the last time I checked. Now, I would take Green Bay skill position players over the Chiefs overall, but Travis Kelce is clearly still more reliable, more consistent than anyone that the Packers have. Jordan Love was lights out on Sunday, throwing where his leading receiver was Bo Melton. That's what else do you need to know? Jaden Reed gets hurt. Dontavian Wicks is already hurt. Christian Watson is already hurt. He slices and dices the fifth overall defense by DVOA with Bo Melton as his leading receiver. That is what franchise quarterbacks do. That is what MVPs do. And so it, more than anything, the reason I bring this up is if you look at some of the players who have been in the MVP conversations over the course of this season, Jalen Hurts. Look at the talent around Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert, the best offensive line in the league, the most unstoppable single play in the league. Yeah, Jalen Hurts is part of that, but like, come on. You think Jordan Love with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown doesn't have like 40 touchdown passes this year? Jordan Love is third in the league in touchdowns and is probably going to finish leading the league in touchdown passes because Dak Prescott might not play more than a half and Brock Purdy probably not going to play at all on Sunday. So if Jordan Love can get two or three touchdown passes, probably going to lead the league in touchdowns. With all of the turmoil around him, with no running game. Now, recently, of course, Sunday, they got a great effort from Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones has not done this all season because he's been hurt. Now, it makes them a very dangerous team come playoff time, but Jordan Love right now, and I, you know, often it is disingenuous to be like, well, so-and-so deserves to be in the conversation, but no one really thinks they deserve to win the award. And I think this is a little bit of that where I don't think Jordan Love deserves to win the award, but I think it is important that we recognize how good he has been this season, not just relative to expectation. His passing over under was 3250. He hit it 2 weeks ago. Like with a month to play, he hit his passing overs. Lamar Jackson just hit his touchdown total. Like this is what we expected Lamar Jackson to do. And we've seen, yes, they've had some adversity, but like Isaiah Likely's a really good player. Zay Flowers is a really good player. Odell Beckham making incredible catches. You get the rookie running back who goes off for a month and a half, then he gets hurt, and then it doesn't matter because you've got Gus Edwards and all these other guys who are just like, nah, Justice Hill, we'll just do whatever. We'll just keep it rolling because we've got a great scheme. We've got a really good offensive line. And yeah, our quarterback is a big part of the running game. He opens up everything for everyone else. But the reason I bring it up is because I mentioned this before. The Packers would laugh at the 49ers for saying, let's trade Brock Purdy for Jordan Love. Never would happen. If you just want to say who has been better, you know, Brock Purdy has been more productive. But Brock Purdy's thrown to Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, and he's got Christian McCaffrey running the ball and like Kyle Shanahan designing plays where guys are running wide open on every play. Who is the guy this season that you have watched the most turn nothing into something? It's like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jordan Love. That's the answer. That's the answer. And so if that's the answer, then Jordan Love has to be in the MVP, not the conversation. He has to be considered here. This is not just some like talking hot take nonsense. Sixth in EPA per play on the season, ahead of Lamar Jackson. Third in touchdowns. And in the second half of the season, he has been arguably, statistically, pro football focusly, the best quarterback in the league. Look at the numbers. The completion numbers, the from a clean pocket numbers, under pressure was unbelievable against the best pressure package defense in the league on Sunday. The reason the Packers won was Jordan Love's ability pre and post snap to find the answers and find open receivers without Christian Watson, without Dontavian Wicks, without Jaden Reed for a half, without Luke Musgrave, without David Bakhtiari, and credit the offensive line to be sure. No one does it truly alone. But when you look around in the NFC, is there another quarterback you would rather have right now than Jordan Love? Think about it. All else is equal. What if Jordan Love had CeeDee Lamb? He doesn't. What if he did? How good would this offense be? And after a little stretch where he was turning the ball over, almost half of Jordan Love's interceptions came in a two-game span, five of his 11 picks. He now leads the league and has actually led the league basically since Thanksgiving in games with multiple touchdown passes and no interceptions. This is the Aaron Rodgers. This is the, I'm going to be wildly productive while also avoiding mistakes. And from a clean pocket, top three in turnover-worthy play rate, he just isn't making mistakes. While still being productive, that is what MVPs do. So he's not going to win it this year. That's fine. I bet when the odds come out for the 2024 MVP, I bet he's in the top five. And if he's not, I promise you, I will bet it. All right, I want to talk about Jaire Alexander because we didn't really get to do that after the show on Sunday because we were too busy talking about a Packers win, a monster Packers win. But that win was important for more than just the standings. And even though it's not the most important thing, there is this other piece, the Jaire Alexander piece. We're going to talk about it in just a second here on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The NFL regular season is wrapping up, but there's still time to get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 money line bet. That's $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. That's it. That's all you got to do. Place the bet, win or lose, you get the payout. Live same game parlays. Find bets in the Explore tab. I'm always like, okay, this is an interesting one. Make a parlay in the Parlay Hub, the best way to find popular parlays. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and make your first bet a layup. Packers -3.5. Layup. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today, here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. If the Packers go out against the Vikings and get torched, Justin Jefferson just eats them up. Jordan Addison, 7 catches for a 180 and 2 touchdowns. It becomes really hard for the Packers to feel like their suspension of Jaire Alexander was not only worth it, but accomplished its goal. And the goal of suspending Jaire Alexander pretty clearly was, hey, we are in charge, not you. and no one can put themselves above the team. And if you do it, there will be consequences for those actions. I think it is obvious that the Joe Barry experience is coming to an end. And if that weren't the case, I actually don't think the suspension happens. I think one of the reasons why you feel like you have to do this is because you know Joe Barry is going to be gone at the end of the season, and you can't make it feel like it's because your players staged a mutiny, even if that is in fact what has happened. That is a bad precedent to set in your locker room. And so what the suspension was aimed at doing was to say, look, Matt LaFleur is in charge of the locker room, and if you step out of line, there will be consequences. Now, if the guys that go out and play like crap, it probably only emboldens a player to Jair Alexander to say, look, you need me. You can't do this without me. But for Corey Ballantyne to go out and ball the way that he was awesome. Him and Carrington Ballantyne were unbelievable in this game. Jordan Addison was an afterthought. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison combined for 9 targets. They had 3 catches. Against the 2 boundary corners that are backups. This is what you needed if you're Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, because what it says is not only is Matt LaFleur in charge of this locker room, but you have to trust us, or not even have to, you can trust the coaches to make this work. It is a proof of concept for someone who is dubious of it. And Joe Barry went out, and we have to give credit where credit is due, and we did on our live show. Joe Barry called a great game. Now, against backup quarterbacks, you damn well better be able to call a great game or like get out of the league. But still, without you know, besmirching NFL players, it's not easy to call a game with backup corners, especially against really good receivers. It doesn't matter who's throwing them the ball. And Nick Mullins had lit up other NFL defenses that we think are coordinated by really smart people. Nick Mullins was really good against really productive against Cincinnati. Lou Anarumo is one of the best defensive coaches in the league. He's been getting head coaching looks. He's going to get head coaching looks in this cycle. So we can't just hand wave that part of it. But by being as productive as they were, by playing as well defensively as they did, it becomes vital to the culture of your locker room because it validates Matt LaFleur saying, I'm in charge. Just trust me to steer the ship on this. Let me handle it. And then in 2 games, maybe more, we'll see, but in at least a game, when they inevitably announce that Joe Barry's contract is not being renewed and that he will leave at the end of the season, or he's being promoted to a front office position or some senior consulting position and they want to get younger and whatever nonsense thing that they say, because this is over, this is done, it's not happening anymore after this season, barring some crazy trip to the Super Bowl. And then maybe he deserves another season. And then you're sort of like, who cares? Like, if you won a Super Bowl, but Joe Barry had to coach for 5 more years, wouldn't you take that trade? I think I would. So this is a little bit like, and I hesitate to use a metaphor like this, but because I don't want to equate what Jair Alexander did with, child rearing, and it becomes a little fraught. But there are times when, your kid will say, hey, I want to do this, but you don't want to reward them for bad behavior. But you kind of got to do this. And so the example was my son, we were in the car and, he did not have a great finish to wherever we were. We get in the car and I know for him to stay awake in the car, I got to give him my phone. He's going to fall asleep and we got a nap problem. Parents understand what I'm talking about. But I had to leave enough separation between when we got in the car to when I gave him the phone, because I knowing he needed to stay awake so we could get him home so he could nap, that I had to separate that. So it couldn't seem like I was rewarding the bad behavior. If you just let Jair Alexander do whatever he did, and we don't even have the information there, and then in a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, fire Joe Barry without penalty to Jair, it's going to seem like you did it because he is mad and acted out. And then it's like giving him his way. And then you embolden a player who's already highly paid, who is really good, and who is a leader on that team to feel like he can subvert the team's goals for his own personal feelings. And Jaire Alexander should absolutely have a voice in how this defense plays and who, and frankly, who the coach is. He should be able to go to Matt LaFleur and say, this is not working. Let's change it. And whether Matt LaFleur listens or not. But it can't be behavior like what we saw, the coin toss thing. There's obviously other things behind the scenes going on. And I believe Matt LaFleur when he says it's not injury related. For everything that I've heard, the shoulder injury has been brutal. That Jaire has worked his butt off to get back. And I understand why he doesn't want to be out there playing for Joe Barry if he's not 100%, if it's really painful and all of those things. And it is. But that's why you have to make this move now to say, look, trust me to steer this ship. I will get this fixed. Believe in me. Even if that means punishment. That is what leadership often looks like. Hey, you're going to have to eat this because this is, I have to let you know that this is not acceptable, but that we're going to make this better in the long run. This is going to be better for our relationship. So I believe Matt LaFleur when he says, I think we're better in the long run for this, but that's only true because the defense played great. If the defense doesn't play great, then you might have a disgruntled superstar who also thinks that his coach needs him and is a moron for benching him, and then it becomes fraught. So this played out about as well as it could have for Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. And now when you move on from Joe Barry, you've also felt like you have successfully squashed whatever this beef was, and a new defensive coordinator is probably going to provide a lot of new vibes and a much better work environment for Jaire Alexander, hopefully. Make him feel involved in the process. This is assuming that they want to keep him, and it seems like by all accounts they do. Prohibitively expensive to move on from him. This was the right decision to make. They validated the decision with a terrific defensive performance, and I still think they're going to move on from Joe Barry. All of those things can be true, but the suspension works because you backed it up defensively and because you know you're going to make this move anyway. If you had hired Jim Leonard and everything was fine, but Jaire is just behind the scenes kind of pouting or whatever, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but whatever's happening is happening. And you think Jim Leonard is going to be the guy here for multiple years. You might just try and work through it. I think the fact that they suspended him is proof in many ways to say this is going to be over soon, but they can't even offer any hint or suggestion that this kind of handling of that can lead to you getting your way. That's just the way locker rooms operate. I'm just telling you that right now. So this worked out well for them. And this season has worked out well for one specific thing with this Packers organization, the way that they build their team, the kinds of things that they prioritize. We're going to talk about that as we close out another Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, Daily Fantasy Made Easy. It's easy to use. Put together a couple players, their stat projections, and you can win up to 25 times your money if you play it right. The NBA and the NFL, you can mix them. You can put Giannis points with Jordan Love passing yards and create a lineup. You got to start to a lineup. You got to put a couple more together if you want to get that 25 times cash money. But you can put $10 down and win $250 if you play your players right. Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. So what are you waiting for? Go to prizepicks.com/lockedonNFL and use code lockedonNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/lockedonNFL plus code lockedonNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, it's daily fantasy sports made easy. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today is here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. I know it's not draft season yet. Luckily, thought in October, maybe by now it would be. But here we are. But we know, every day or certainly know, the Packers have types. They have thresholds. They have models that they like to use when it comes to especially certain positions. And those models around draft times often come up against opposition from fans who go, no, the Packers need to do a better job of just drafting good football players. Relative athletic score be damned. But first of all, that's not how this works. If you look at the league, 80% of the league has an RAS of 5 or better. So you're an average athlete or better for your position. And if you look at the starters, it's even higher. It's not just that I think that banking on athleticism is a smart way to play it. It is the specific traits that the Packers look for. It's certain positions just translate. So receivers, a great example. Traditionally, they need you to be 5'11", 6 feet or taller. They want you to be 200 pounds or bigger. And then if you want to dig into some of the minutiae, 7 second three cone or better, plus not past like a 4.65 40-yard dash. And you go, well, that doesn't seem that hard. Except every year, there's like half a dozen players who fit this criteria. Now, you're going to miss on players like Zay Flowers. The Packers didn't have a chance. They're not going to take Zay Flowers at, you know, the Lucas Van Ness spot. They had a chance to take him, but not in the second round when they took Jaden Reed, who's been every bit as good as Zay Flowers. But you have the development of Rashawn Gary, for example. Obvious win. But Dontayvion Wicks, underdrafted player, based on his productivity from his second to last year at Virginia, a tier one Green Bay Packers fit, Packers type, size, change of direction, and enough speed. Not a fast player by any means, but enough speed. Look at what he's done in the NFL. Look at the route running that he can bring to bear in a game. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, they asked to put on a little bit of weight. Why? Because at that size, we're asking you to take a lot of beating. And lo and behold, he's gotten hurt. Smaller receiver. But when he's out there, he's incredible. Run after catch. Look at all of the plays that he's made by being a tough player after the catch. Bo Melton. Bo Melton's a tier one Packer type. Over 9 relative athletic score. He's not a superlative athlete in any one specific area. But you put the profile together and it's a guy who is overall an elite athlete for his size and all those things. And you go, okay, this is pretty cool. And he's backed it up the last 2 weeks. In fact, he leads the NFL in yards per route run the last 2 weeks. I know it's an incredibly small sample size, but that's remarkable to be that productive. Packers type. Zach Tom. Packers type. 5th round pick. And he's a top 5 right tackle in the league right now, today. Sean Ryan, pushing for that starting right guard spot. Packers type. Quay Walker, okay. Not my favorite draft pick, right? Still not my favorite draft pick. But by banking on a player with elite athleticism, with incredible length, the physical tools are off the charts. You go, okay, even if he never develops those top-level instincts, could you use him like Devin White in Tampa? Could you just use him as a blitzer, a downhill, fire his guns? And Ben Fennell has a phrase for this that I can't think of off the top of my head, but it's sort of a one mission player. Get task oriented, right? Give him a job. Go get the quarterback. Or cover this guy man to man. He can do those things. The instincts, the read and react stuff, that's not there yet with him. But we saw it on the pass rush rep where he just like flies past the guard, swim moves the running back and gets to the quarterback. And you're just like, my goodness, the athleticism with the length. They've tried him as a blitzer. He's developing there. Even if he never becomes a complete off-ball linebacker, he has that trait. And then worst case scenario, you have a guy who could be a terrific special teamer. Now, with the first round pick, you want more than that. But when you bank on athleticism, usually that means you can develop these other things. Devontae Wyatt, I would say not a good player overall yet, but already a very good situational sub-package pass rusher. That's valuable no matter what. Even if he never develops anything else, that is a valuable tool to have and was useful again last night. Got a handful of pressures last night against the Vikings. When you play from the lead, that guy's very valuable. And guess what? The Packers with Jordan Love going to be playing a lot from the lead. So for Green Bay, and we talked about this too every day or so, remember, when they go away from type, that's when they have these issues. They miss at a much higher rate when they don't use their own types than when they do. And so this season, not only has Brian Gutekunst been on an absolute heater, one of the reasons he's been on a heater is because he has drafted guys that fit their mold, and those guys have been the guys that popped. So even without Christian Watson, who, by the way, no doubt Packers type, they've been able to have Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed and Bo Melton and Romeo Doubs and all these other guys who are also Packers types. Elite athletes at tight end. They had never really done that and put elite draft capital in it. That looks like it works. My goodness, does that look like it works. So this is an absolute dub for the Packers types. And if Brian Gutekunst can keep it up, man, the sky is the limit for this team. And it is so exciting about what they can be this year, next year, and beyond. All right, back tomorrow. Lily Zhao, Zhao, you doing a crossover Thursday for a win and in Packers-Bears game. Locked on Packers, Locked on Bears with Lauren Cox on Thursday. And then we'll see. Interview Friday. We'll see what we can do. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked on Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked on Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, monster live show on New Year's Eve, go check that out if you missed it. And go come hang out with us this weekend. No holiday. So what is your excuse? On our Locked on Packers YouTube page so you can stay Locked on Packers.